We're back. You're listening to Money Talks. I'm Troy Harmon. I'm here with Casey Smith and Jennifer Thomas, and we have got some answers to questions today. If you have questions for us, you can reach us at 770-429-9166, or you can call us toll-free at 1-855-429-9166. You can also email us at drgene@hensler.com. That's spelled H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R.com. You can also reach us on various and sundry social media outlets. If you just want to Google Hensler, H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R, you will find us. Again, we love to entertain your questions. We've got one this week from Tyler from Woodstock. He says, I was reading Motley Fool, and they had an article about three stocks to own for the next decade: Cisco Systems, Bristol-Myers Squibb, and W.W. Grainger. Now, I'm sure they don't advocate set and forget, but I still would love to get your opinion on these three as long-term holdings. Yeah, absolutely. We're all about some long-term holdings. We tend to look at least a big portion of our portfolio as stocks that we might hold for the next 5 years. I don't know about the decade, but when you consider these three, Cisco is an information technology company, makes servers for connectivity to the internet. Bristol-Myers Squibb is a pharmaceutical company making drugs, and then W.W. Grainger is a distributor of maintenance, repair, and operating supplies. So it's in the industrial space. So three companies in three significantly different places. Before I get into the details, I will tell you, when we go through this process, we like to look for household names, companies that are commonly known, that have solid financials, and they're defendable market positions. So something that's not going to be overtaken too easily by a competitor. Generally low beta stocks, so they're going to have a very dependable downside deviation and stable pricing. I like to have a growth catalyst, but quite often you don't see that in these type of companies. As long as they're very profitable, that's the biggest hurdle that I have for them. Just so you know, some of the names that I like in that regard: UPS, McDonald's, maybe PepsiCo, Johnson & Johnson, United Healthcare, Celgene, Travelers Insurance, Oracle, Microsoft, Apple, Google, those types of companies. Now, you say Apple and Google, they're in that information technology. And to be honest with you, technology moves so quickly, you never know what's coming or, you know, the next company to come into the game that very well might knock your stock out. So that's probably one of the places that I'm always the most careful when trying to say, yeah, I think I would own that for the next 5 years. Of course, you know, none of us can forecast the future, and we continually monitor even those stocks on an ongoing basis. And if ever we came to a conclusion that, no, I wouldn't own this for the next 5 years, you would probably hear us talk about selling it. So backing up, Cisco. Cisco does meet our criteria for investment based on financial strength and safety, but it's still not the most attractive information technology company. They're doing some things with cloud and trying to create maybe a personal or a corporate cloud space with some of their servers, because they're not the biggest competitor in the scene anymore. I know Amazon, Google, some of the other players are in technology are actually kind of winning that race. Long-term growth expectations for earnings is a little over 8% for Cisco. The revenue growth is almost flat, especially in the U.S. I think there are better options, and obviously I've already thrown out a couple. So when it comes to that one, do I think it's going to be around in a decade? Very likely. But it seems like the revenue growth is awful flat these days. And I would like somebody like Apple or Google or even Microsoft better. Bristol-Myers Squibb, the pharmaceutical in the bunch, is probably the strongest one of this crowd. It, too, meets our criteria for investment based on financial strength and safety. But what's strange to me, and this is prevalent in a lot of industries, so management's been doing their job. They've been cutting costs. And the financial analysts that follow the company have gotten a little bit scared now. So, you know, they don't know if their cost cutting means that management sees tough times ahead. It's mm-hmm. just nuts. But I will tell you that I believe personally that when you look at pharmaceuticals as an industry overall, this is probably going to be a big focus of regulation coming mm-hmm. coming forward. They just, with the Affordable Care Act, were able to add about 20 million new people to our health insurance rolls. I really believe the next step is that they start squeezing profits. You know, they are a special case. What I'm about to say, Mylan Labs mm-hmm. obviously had the big EpiPen problem.
Right.
They ran the price up. Justifiable or not, I think most people would say it's not justifiable to have to pay $500-$600 for an EpiPen. But either way, you see both sides of the aisle when they were talking to Mylan about whether or not you know the price was fair, reasonable. Mm-hmm. I think we'll probably see more and more of that going forward. And then, and like I say, this is probably my favorite of the bunch. But at the same time, you know, I think that the whole industry is probably going to be pressured, so maybe not the absolute best place to hide out. Their earnings growth is expected around 20%, which is nothing to sneeze at. In that particular space, I actually prefer like a Johnson & Johnson or a Celgene. Johnson & Johnson obviously is not going to have earnings growth anywhere near that, but they're entrenched and they're more like a healthcare staple.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to any grocery store in the middle of nowhere and find something Johnson & Johnson sells. The other one is W.W. Grainger. It's a distributor. It, too, meets our criteria for investment. So, you know, three good solid companies as far as financial safety go and financial strength. But in the end, W.W. Grainger is in an industry. It's a distributor, so it doesn't manufacture anything. It takes goods on wholesale and sells them to more retail public. They're mm-hmm. selling to businesses, so a B2B kind of company. Long-term growth expectations around 12%, which almost exactly matches their operating profit margin, which is about half of the other two companies that we just talked about. All things considered, are they going to be around in 10 years? Yeah, probably, but I'm not a huge fan of the space. Peter from Marietta says, I mistakenly opened a non-deductible traditional IRA in 2014, thinking the contribution could be tax-deductible, but turns out it wasn't because I participate in a qualified 401k plan with my company. I wasn't very savvy back then, and I contributed again in 2015, so now I have $11,000 in the account. I haven't made much in earnings on it, as it's been sitting in a money market account. That's probably mistake number three. What are my options? Should I keep it in the traditional IRA and consider investing it more aggressively? Can I withdraw it without any penalty since it's primarily after-tax money, or is it better to roll it over into a Roth IRA that I will be opening this year?
Okay, well, I mean, there's quite a few questions there, but let's just kind of start with, one, I think it should be invested more aggressively. Typically, your retirement money is the last money that you're going to touch. I don't know exactly how old Peter is, but assuming that you're working for the next 10 years, you're not going to need this money for the next 10 years, you're saving it for retirement, it should be invested more in growth investments. And I'm making the assumption yet that you're not yet 59 and a half. Assuming that you're not 59 and a half, then you can't withdraw it without a penalty. You would have, you would have to withdraw it. You wouldn't have to pay tax on the money since you didn't get a deduction for it, but you would have to pay a 10% penalty. You would have to pay tax on any earnings. I know that it wasn't anything significant. My recommendation would be to, assuming that this is the only IRA that you have, I know that you have a 401k, but that's a completely different animal. If you don't have any other IRA accounts, then I would, you may be more savvy than you thought you were. I would convert that to the Roth. This is something that we use as a strategy for clients all the time. There is no earnings rule for conversions to the Roth. So if you don't have other IRA money and you're above the income limit to contribute to a Roth, you can contribute to a traditional IRA and then convert that to a Roth. You don't get the tax deduction, but then you get to convert it to the Roth. In both cases, the money's going to continue to grow tax deferred. That would be my suggestion
there
on that.
There you go. The old backdoor Roth.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing conversion about that is you do have a little bit, you're adding some tax location diversification. So we always talk about diversification of your investments as far as asset classes and things like that. You already have a 401k, which I'm assuming is a tax deferred 401k, right? Not a Roth 401k option, because it's
either
not mentioned here.
Either can be, but an option though, right?
Yeah, it could be. But if you don't currently have any money in a Roth, you know that there is some school of thought that says it's nice to have a little bit of diversity in your tax location, because we don't know what tax rates are going to be in the future. I mean, you may think you know based on what they are today, but I'm telling you, with the election coming up, we're probably in for some changes to the tax brackets. And so where you think you are might not be where you end up, and you might end up being better off to have some money in a Roth. It's just another way to diversify your investments and protect yourself, in this case, not really from market fluctuations, but from tax situations.
Right. Yeah, the tax rate is always the wild card when you're trying to decide between mm-hmm. a traditional and a Roth IRA, right?
That's exactly right.
But if Peter does have other IRA accounts, and the reason that I'm saying if you don't have other IRA accounts is because if you convert to the Roth, it looks at, you know, because you don't get the deduction on these, you can convert that and you don't have to pay tax on the conversion. But if you have other IRAs that, like, maybe were from a rollover of a 401k, it's a pro rata basis. Thank you. I was going to say percentage, and I knew that wasn't right. A pro rata basis based on the total amount of all of your IRAs combined. So you may have to then pay tax on the conversion.
Yeah, basically, Peter, what you've done is you've created basis in your IRA, mm-hmm. and rather than not cost basis necessarily, I mean, this is just the investment basis that you've opened up for yourself. So if you did, what is it, $11,000, that's what your basis is. So mm-hmm. if you have, you know, $100,000 total in other IRAs, and the other $89,000 is tax deferred, and whereas $11,000 is after tax, then every dollar you take out would be taxable based on that percentage, the $11,000 divided by the $100,000. So that $11,000 would be the tax-free portion, and the rest of it would be taxable.
Yeah, but if you have other IRAs and you don't want to pay the tax, you can just – I would leave it in the IRA, but invest it more aggressively.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, we've got another one. Brian from Mableton says, both of my kids have UGMA accounts. That's what, uniform gift to minors?
Good mm-hmm. job, Troy.
How about that?
You
going to
get your CFP
that.
Next?
Well, you never know. My older son will turn 18 next spring. We hope that the funds will be used for college expenses, not tuition, but I don't really know what his options are for continuing to invest the money versus just putting it into a checking account. Are there any tax implications to the transfer?
So what a UGMA account says is that once you put money into that account, you have made an irrevocable gift to the minor. So that money is theirs no matter what, you know, you say have to say about it. It's ultimately going to be up to them to make the decisions about how that money gets spent once they reach the age of majority, which in Georgia is 18. However, there's a little bit of a discrepancy there, because I can't remember what it's called now, but it's in 21 is the age that you actually have to turn the account over to them. So there's a little bit of gray area between 18 and 21.
Yeah, you can open an account as an 18-year-old.
Right.
But your uniform gift to minors account does not become yours until you're 21.
Exactly. In Georgia, and it's different by state. So, you know, definitely if you're not in Georgia, which Brian's from Mableton, so he doesn't have to worry about that. He doesn't have to turn over the account to his son until he's 21, so he can help, he can really make those decisions about what happens to the money, as long as it's being used for his son's his son's benefit. So that's really the sticky part, and that's where it gets a little bit complicated. as far as what he can do, you know, continuing to invest the money, he can certainly do that. You know, once, especially between the ages of 18 and 21, like I said, you know, the kid doesn't even necessarily have to know about the account until they turn 21, when you have to turn it over to them. But if he wants to take the money out of it, you know, it's not a retirement account. There's no tax impact. If you've got investments in there that you have to sell, there could be capital gains implications and things of that nature. But it's, you're not taxed when you take the money out of the account. So it works just like a, you know, regular brokerage account.
All right. We got a question, and we got just a few minutes, so I'll try to cover this one quick. Zane from East Cobb asks, I'm dollar cost averaging and growing my portfolio holdings. For industrials, would you suggest an ETF or an exchange traded fund or a diversified company like 3M? 3M is in the industrials business sector. It operates in five segments, so it is an industrial conglomerate, I guess. You should never think that a single company, though, is going to do the same thing as the overall sector is going to do unless it controls a huge portion of that. For the S&P 500, 3M makes up about 5.7% of the total sector. So I would not recommend that. I would say you need to probably get an ETF in the industrial space. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up here in just a second. So the last question, is the market up or down next week? Jennifer?
Up.
Up. Just because?
Sure.
I'm going to say down. I'm going down.
Wow. And is there any reason behind that?
I'm just
pessimist.
Feeling, I know, right?
He really is. I always say up. So.
But I'm buying a lottery ticket after this. So it's
Are you going to go to North Carolina? Maybe that would be the strategy. Get your wife to do it, and if she gets in an argument with you, you're even more likely to win. How about that? All right. Been great. We'll see you next week.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.